first reading, we heard why prophets don't like the job. Only one prophet in the whole of the Old Testament ever said, "Here I am, send me." Isaiah. All the others said, "Lord, I don't want this." Moses himself. And Jeremiah. "I'm too young. You know, I don't know anything." And the Lord said, "Don't you say I'm too young. You do what I tell you." He was very hard on Jeremiah, actually. Because he loved him so much. So he stood there in the national shrine and said, "This is a total waste of time. Unless you change your life, don't bother to come here." How'd you like that, John? How would you like that job? Later on, he's going to stand there and say, "I'm telling you, this national shrine, this St. Peter's, this whatever, it's gone. Not one stone on another. Because you never obeyed the Lord." Tough, huh? Interestingly enough, the gospel has the same message. We often interpret this thing, we all do, Martha and Mary, "I'm Martha, you're Mary," or, you know. And in daily life, some people are running around more excited about doing things than others. But that's not the message of this text. The message of the text is, unfortunately, not well translated here. "Who sat at the feet of the Lord, listening to his word." Now that's the secret of authenticity. And that's what the Lord is after. He's not blaming Martha for getting supper ready. He says, "You're anxious and worried about many things." That's the problem. And that's our problem all the time. So, as the text stands, we could call Mary the patron saint of authenticity. And I want to try to develop that a little bit, because we always dismiss this. "Oh, Mary's really got the better part, but I got this, and this to do," and we go on our life, and the text doesn't really make much of an impact. This is the word of the Lord. Now, what is the Lord telling us this morning in this text? It's about knowing God. It's about knowing God. Because it isn't that Mary didn't do anything. She was the one at the foot of the cross, along with Our Lady, huh? She was the one who ran to the tomb. She's the apostle of the apostles, as the tradition calls her. Not that she didn't do anything, but she tried to be authentic. She tried to hear the word of the Lord and let it change her and come out of that. And that's probably the hardest thing we do, for all kinds of reasons. You know, when I was a monk, we would have some people come to the monastery, and they just loved the silence, and they loved the office, and they loved the, you know, regular life. And we said, "This place is not for you. This isn't challenging you at all. Go on out and join an active order and go to work. Because you love it for the wrong reasons." I can tell you this after having been assistant novice master from the ages of 23 to 28. We always had about 30 or 40 guys there. The only people who do this are incredibly aggressive people. Nearly all choleric, no melancholies. You've got to be if you're going to pursue the Lord. You've got to be, because there's going to be obstacles. You're going to suffer. You're going to have a hard time. And if you're not just crazy for God, you're not going to do it. If you're smart, you can carve out a little comfy place for yourself. I mean, we got Carthusians who spend their whole life making a grandfather clock. Is that why they're in solitude? Do you know what I'm trying to say? You know, the only thing that St. Benedict asks for in a fellow con. If a guy comes to the door, wants to join the monastery, give him a hard time. That's the first thing they say. This is not good advice for vocation directors these days. But give him a hard time. And see if he stays there 2 or 3 days at the door. 2 or 3 days. We might have been tougher folk than we are. Then let him in. And assign him to an elder to look after him, to disciple him. This is love. And what is this elder supposed to be looking for? One thing. Si vere Deum querit. Is he really seeking God? Does he truly desire God? Is he nuts about God? Then he'll make it. That's Mary. Do you understand? It's different than we think. Now, that's a grace we all have. One of the signs of it, among many others, is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is what it's supposed to do. Oh my gosh, you're real. You know, it's wonderful to get gifts and all that stuff, and they're very important. And it's part of the whole prophetic role of this grace. But it's not the heart of it. The heart of it is seeking God. Wanting to really know God and do whatever He wants. That's the key. Why did God pour out this grace? And is still pouring it out in many and varied ways. This whole direction for our times is a... People read those little books that Anne wrote and their life comes alive. I get phone calls all the time. People I never heard of. I don't know how they even knew I'm involved in it. But, I mean, not just around the neighborhood. New Jersey, Pennsylvania, California. What's going on? Bringing the knowledge of God alive and making people hunger and thirst for Him. Then they're ready. The Spanish bishops did a marvelous thing. They just wrote a long encyclical. You know, they have a very secular government over there. They're pushing for same-sex marriage and this and that and the other thing. In effect, they're saying, folks, it's not that man's fault that the church in Spain is in a mess. It's our fault. We bishops. It's our fault. Because we didn't look closely enough and have the guts to stop what the theologians were doing to the church. And so they write this letter. Beautiful thing. I'm sure it'll get into English. It's only in Spanish, but it's a gorgeous thing. What's the difference? You see, experiencing God. That's the heart of faith. It doesn't mean you're always full of warm, fuzzy feelings. It means there's something so deep in you that you would really have to work at denying it. You could, but you'd have to work at it. It's got a hold of you. You see, that's the heart. What happened? Well, we can't go through the whole thing. It started in the 14th century. We've got to get to lunch, even if we don't get to breakfast, so we won't do all that. But people lost the sense of transcendence. It was all like these people going to the temple. You know, you go to the temple, you got it made. Who said you got it made? Because you go to the temple? Because you make the first nine Tuesdays? No. So God in His mercy said, look, for the millionth time, I'm going to give you another chance. I love you. I want you to succeed. Experience. What's experience? There's two things in experience. It has to be contact and articulation. What do I mean? Okay, here I am, I'm preaching, and I bump into this podium. Okay, that's contact, right? But until I say consciously, even to myself, I just bumped into the podium, it's not an experience. It's just a contact. Now suppose, in my vocabulary, in my culture and everything, they took away the words bump and podium. I couldn't have an experience. I couldn't appropriate the contact. Are you with me? Is this too abstract for 8:30 in the morning? You got it? Okay. You know, why did God have you write this? Why is Jesus Himself going to preach this morning? To know God. To know God. And so, the renewal came along, and it was like the podium falling on me. It was so powerful, we had to find words. What a grace. And what we found was, what do you know? They've been talking like this for a long, long time. Fathers of the church, the real meaning of Scripture, the great saints of every century. Oh, I got it. That's the preciousness of this gift. That's the preciousness of this gift. And that's, I think, if Saint Mary is up there, got anything to do, this is what she's praying for, huh? That we will learn what it means to strive for authenticity. Sit at the feet means stop running around making excuses, doing stuff to substitute for authenticity, and listen to His word, because if you really let it in, it's a huge thing. It'll change you. A little bit of word, I sound more intelligent. My life might be a little bit of order. That's nice. But that's not what this is about. This is about hearing God. God! And that's so powerful that God will do anything to bring that about in our lives. He will turn our whole life upside down. We'll get mad at Him. We'll think this is terrible. He'll push us around. It's because He's a fanatic. He knows the only reason we exist is to know and love Him. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So He'll do that. That's what our Lord is telling me. Martha, you're anxious and worried about many things. It's not that He doesn't want supper. It's not that we're not supposed to work like crazy with the whole world going nuts, nobody knowing God. Those Spanish bishops got together, and boy, did they have to work, and did they have to fight among themselves to get this thing straight. Didn't they? But what's the drive of it? Authenticity. The Lord will let you know when you're inauthentic if you listen to Him. He'll tell you. Isn't that wonderful? That He loves us so much. And the whole purpose is just to really know Him and love Him. Because Jesus does for every one of us what the old senior is supposed to do to the young guy coming to the monastery. Look and see, does he really seek God? If not, I'll win him over if he'll just stick with me.